Next, we're going to hear from Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron as they walk through Kevin's concern about being a rescuer and what boundaries he should add to his life. Then Chris Williams and Dr. Jill Hubbard address Danny's concern about his wife's abuse as a child and how he can encourage her to seek help. Two more teaching segments will follow. Chris Williams is going to share about a term, benevolent witness. Have your notebooks ready with your pen because there's notes to be taken. And then Mark will talk about what he learned about attachment while on a recent vacation.
Welcome to New Life Live, Kevin.
Thank you. I was just driving into for a prison ministry and kind of praying about the day and some of the things that are going on. And the Lord said, seek wise counsel. So I was listening to you guys. I figured I'd dial in. The situation is recently, I'd say over the last couple of months, God has hooked me up with guys who are struggling with fentanyl addictions. I know I can have a tendency to be the rescuer, and I was just wondering, what are some good boundaries to set with them? Kind of like that hard fentanyl addiction. It just seems like when they're hooked, they're severely hooked.
Mm. Kevin, is it just the people at the prison that you're saying you're rescuing, or is it people that you meet on the street?
Actually, this is a couple of guys that have showed up at our church's Bible study.
Oh, find who's helping in your area. How great that they're at church. That means they're taking that first step. Sometimes with fentanyl addiction, you know, they can go, they need more than just a, you know, a meeting every once in a while. They need, you know, some intense care. So your job, and I say this to every volunteer and every pastor that I work with, I say, find the resources in your community and then, you know, bring these people to that resource. And you may have to get them in a car and bring them. But in a moment when they have that need, that's when you take them. Just sent a guy to a Salvation Army in Fresno, California, and he stayed, but he didn't want to go. But he stayed and, you know, he's going through the process. Yay. I don't know what will happen at the end, but, you know, that's what you want with these guys that you're working with. How great that they're coming to you.
Yeah. Mark, any thoughts?
Yeah, I have some thoughts for you, Kevin. If you came to see me in my office before I answered your question about boundaries, I'd want to find out more about why you are a rescuer.
I'm basically the second generation stepping out of the, I think, the generational sin of alcoholism. You know, since I've become a Christian, it was about 35 years ago, and God's had me in the pursuit of, you know, how should I really be running my life? And one of those areas was, he had kind of pointed out that I have a tendency to rescue people because it was a pretty turbulent time in my family at times, not really physically abusive, probably mostly just verbal, and distancing and the odd ways of lack of communication. You know, with the elephant in the living room kind of thing. So I think I was always trying to be the peacemaker amidst the conflict. And that's something I've had an opportunity with me and my wife to be facilitating 12-step program, Celebrate Recovery. And so God kind of clued me in, you know, that I need to be careful about that. So that's why I was kind of calling. You know, I figured, well, victory, there's victory in wise counsel. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I'll take whatever input you guys have got.
Yeah. So in childhood, you were trained to help. You were trained to serve. And I find that with people who are rescuers, usually they have to take care of a family member or they have to take care of a parent, and they get trained that way. And what happens when a child goes through a circumstance like that is they feel a lot of anxiety inside when they see their parent stressed or the family member stressed. And so they learn to fall into this role of rescuing and helping to calm the situation down. But really, it's also mainly to calm their own anxiety down. And so now you've gone into adulthood and you know, we need people who help others. And so you're a great blessing. But I would imagine there's probably a lot of anxiety inside of you still when you see people struggling and you rescue and you help because it's a way to reduce your anxiety. Is that true?
Yeah, I could see that. I try to be cognizant when, you know, those kind of situations come up.
So here's what my advice to you would be, Kevin. I love that you're a helper and you want to help other people, but we don't want to do that to your detriment or to other people's detriment. So I encourage you to get into counseling and have a therapist help walk you through your childhood story. Have that person help you understand, you know, the anxiety that you feel around seeing other people in distress. Because as you learn to deal with that and as you learn to become more confident, that's where you'll build your boundaries. Because part of helping other people who are going through hard things like this is knowing when to allow them to experience the consequence of their actions. Because when you don't do that, you often rob them of that growth opportunity. But you need to be able to work on that piece on the inside of yourself. So I love what you're doing, but I think that would greatly benefit you if you could make sense of your childhood story that way.